Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone out there in radio internet land. This is Coach Penn, and you're on Third and Long. This week, we have a bunch of breaking news. The IWFL released their all-star list and roster, along with some special information on there. So later in the show, we will get to that. First, we're going to cover where are they now. Adrienne A-Train Penn, last week, she was supposed to be on the show, but she was unable to do that. So she will be calling in a couple minutes, and she will be my first guest. After that, then we're going to welcome Carlos Matthews on the line. He is the owner of the Tennessee State Valley Tigers, the newest addition to the IWFL. That'll be interesting to hear what he has to say and what he's been doing. The IWFL had a little synopsis on his actual involvement in women's football as a team. Players and their management have been around since 2000, so it'll be nice to get some information out of him and see what he is bringing to the IWFL. Obviously, lots of experience. After that, then I will go into the detailed information I was supplied with today by Kesnia Disney, the COO of the IWFL. She gave me a bunch of information regarding the All-Stars and all the information that I am allowed to present. She plans to be on the show in the future. Unfortunately, she keeps on giving me excuses like, I got an interview a team, they're supposed to get in the league, and for some reason everybody's only allowed to be interviewed at night because that's the time they can get together. So I'm going to keep on giving her crap until she actually shows up on my show. Luckily, she is very, very forthcoming with information and works with me on a weekly basis, keeping me up to date on some of the things that she thinks you people need to know. I know a little bit more than probably a lot of people out there. And as soon as I am given the okay, I share things with you. This week I have most of the stuff to share with you about the IWFL All-Star Weekend. It's not exactly what it sounds like, but it actually is a very good thing for women's football. And while many people might think it conflicts with Dion's football camp conference, it doesn't. It's two different things. The one involves people learning. The other one involves building something around a league event. And I think in the future, that one will be huge. I think this year it has the potential to be bigger than most people are anticipating, even though it conflicts. So I want to say thank you to a couple listeners out there that are on right now. Pops, welcome. And then the H-Down defensive coach, Coach Damon, thanks for listening. He sent me an email, but it was directed to the ladies at WFB Talk, so I did not get it. I might have him on later, depending on the time, so we can chit-chat, because I sent some feelers out to H-Town a while back before they reached the championship game, and nobody ever, you know, got back to me. But, you know, now he's out there, and he wants to talk, so I might actually have him on later. Depends on how much time we have left. So, big thing is, where are they now? Some people put on the message board. The message boards have been pretty quiet. A lot of talk about the WPFL. Does it exist? Guess what? Just because a website works doesn't mean it exists. I'm sorry. I went over this last week on my show. I think there's five teams that still have not announced anything, but there's a couple tryouts on there, and somebody actually said something along the lines of, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. Well, I haven't been heard any singing, but it hasn't been updated in forever, so I think it's funny that all these teams are having tryouts, but nobody's making announcements. One of the biggest negatives to me in women's football is there's no coordination or an organization about anything. That's why I've already had our team meeting, my exit interview, I guess you could say, for the California Quake on Monday. And after my exit interview, we went over the surveys from the team and the management and the coaches about what needs to be done to improve our team financially and, I guess, in the image of the community of Long Beach and Downey, where we really are. And then we already started talking about the 2009 season. And that's how important it is. Everybody has to basically start getting on this stuff now. I mean, the coaches and players have less of a responsibility than what management really needs to do. The participation by the players in the fundraising or organization events, you know, the marketing, recruiting, they probably need to do somewhat that, as well as start training their body, which is another show. I'm hoping to have that one in about 2 weeks. But it's important that all these women love the game and want to play the game, and then the biggest negative every year is, I spent so much money, it costs so much, how can we get more fundraising? Well, first of all, you got to show fundraising, ladies. And that doesn't mean the same 15 people every time we have a fundraising event. That means everybody on the team, coaches, management, players, needs to be there. And unless that's enforced, it's going to be really hard to get money, marketing, and everything else. So, let's see. Coach Damon said something about Brian Wiggins. Yeah, he was the commissioner who in the WPFL the last season, and looks like the WPFL will not bring them back for the 2009 season. Well, the WPFL, I don't understand how they even are still out there, but we will see. Let me say that, BJ, whenever you get the 714 number, please just go ahead and let me know and unmute it, and we will get right into that. But the whole WPFL existing still just boggles me to it just doesn't make any sense. You have five teams who haven't played, and they're supposed to be playing right now. So they should have been working out the last couple months preparing for football. So I would just rather them join the other leagues and make it something. I mean, I've already heard rumors about another league starting, which is, to me, not a good thing, especially if it means taking teams from other leagues that are successful or creating teams in cities that already exist, like Coach Damon is in the NWFA with the H-Town Cyclones. Well, Houston is a big enough town that they can probably support two good teams. They probably won't be both championship-caliber teams unless H-Town keeps all of their players and doesn't lose any to Houston, as in the energy. So I believe I gave A this number. I gave her the 347 number, so she should have this one. If not, I will have to give her a buzz, and I don't know how I'll do that real quick, but let's see, what was I saying, about Houston and H-Town both existing in the same city. That's possible, but I think it would be much better served if the energy were to either join the IWFL or the NWFA. I think it would be a great rivalry and really cut down on cost in the NWFA. Of course, I would like to see the Dallas-Houston rivalry renewed, so that is big with my part. And then we have Indiana and a couple other small teams that didn't pick a team or pick a league. So I am not concerned on that. That's really good to hear, Coach, that you have 35 players returning. H-Town Coach said that he has 35 players so far returning. And, I mean, that changes. I mean, I haven't been involved for 7 years now. I know people saying they aren't going to come back are going to come back. You never know until trials really start, and you are having trials really early, so you'll find out really soon. So that's good to know. For those of you just now tuning in, this is Third and Long with Coach Penn. If you're on WFB Talk Continues, there's a chat available, a little green square up in the right-hand corner. Go ahead and click on that, hop in the chat room, ask me questions, throw some stuff out there. And if you feel like calling in or have some things to talk about after I'm done with my interviews this evening, the number is 347-826-7278. Let me see if I can actually Is that her that you just beeped off? Yeah, she has a private number.
Hello?
Hello?
It's Adrian.
Hey, everybody, this is Adrian A-Train Penn, formerly of the California Quake and Long Beach Aftershock. It's part of our Where Are They Now segment. I want to welcome you to Third and Long with Coach Penn.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be on.
Yeah, well, for those of you who don't know, she's my sister, and I'm her brother. That's how that works. It's actually funny because she got me into women's football. I actually moved from Florida State University, out here after watching her play in the 2001 WAFL championship game against the Dixie Blues. She had it because we were both from St. Augustine, Florida. They actually had a big write-up in the Jacksonville Times Union, which is a major paper, about, you know, her moving from St. Augustine to California and then playing a local home team. So what have you been up to the past 3 years? What year did you retire?
I believe I retired in 2004.
Yeah, it was basically you played three seasons, right? One with the Quake and three with the Aftershock?
Yes. I did.
And how did you get involved in the women's football to begin with?
I recently moved to California, and I saw in a women's sports magazine about people having tryouts in Long Beach. So I just went down there and thought I'd give it a whirl because, you know, I always had to watch you play as a kid, so I thought it was my turn.
Yes, it was your turn. And it's funny because I sent you that email a couple days ago about how somebody asked about where are they now, and they compared you to the predecessor to Jessica Springer, and that Jessica Springer is the size of a fullback, but she plays a tailback position, and that's her position. You were not a tailback. You were a fullback, but that's not where you started off, is it?
No, it's not. When I first started, I wanted to be a linebacker, and one of our original coaches told me I was too slow, so they moved me to the defensive line and the offensive line, and then it went from there.
And how many games did that last with you on the offensive line?
I played on the offensive line a half a game.
Half a game. Yeah, at least that coach realized really quick how soon you need to be moved. No, that's good. So what do you miss most about football?
What I miss most about football is just the pure joy that it brings to my life. I enjoy going out there and, you know, running people over and just getting out all my excess energy and having fun doing it with a bunch of other women that enjoy the sport as much as I do.
Now, that original Quake team is widely considered one of the best out there for the specific reason is that they had a monster defense. And then they had the combination of you at running back, Arlinda Juice Graves, and then Kelly Teagarden. She was also a running back that year, right?
No, not that year. The next year she was.
Okay, she was a wide receiver with Paige, right?
Right.
And then you, of course, had uber superstar quarterback Mary Margaret Montgomery. So, how does it? Do you keep in touch with some of those ex-players?
Well, of course, the bond you make in something that big, you know, one of the first years of women's football is something that you hold on to. We played together for a long time, so we all keep in contact. Some of us have moved on and have kids. Some are concentrating on their careers. We're all just all over the place. Some are still playing. So, yeah, we keep in contact.
All right, so you said some of them have had kids and focused on careers. What have you been doing the past 3 years then? Or actually past 4 years?
Well, actually the first year and a half I was rehabbing my ankle. I tore all the ligaments in my ankle. So I was rehabbing for a while, but then I wanted to concentrate on my career. I was moving up in my industry, and so I've just been concentrating on that.
And what are your plans for the future? Are you still focused on, you know, building your career, or do you have football coaching or playing still in your future?
I have a feeling that the train might be stopping in a few cities this next season, so we're going to hope for that and look forward to that.
Well, that's exciting to hear. Hopefully you don't have anything against your brother, and I'll be your first choice if you actually decide to put that 99 back on again.
Well, you never know. The Amazons are big bidders.
Yes, they are, and it is a bidding contest when it comes to the A-Train because she brings a lot to your team as an athletic prowess. She's what do you in your athletic condition, what do you weigh, 220, I think? When you're
Probably
right
a little bit more. Now retirement puts on a few pounds.
Well, I know retirement put on a lot of pounds for me too, but I'm just saying as in general, what your playing weight is about 220, wasn't it?
Yeah, approximately.
All right, 220, and she was one of
five.
One of the fastest ladies out there. She's very, very aggressive with running the ball. You know, people compare her to Jessica Springer. Jessica Springer was more of a tailback the way she runs because she hits that corner. And she's not afraid to put down her shoulder and then, you know, run somebody over. But A-Train, from what I remember, she is looking for contact. She does not look for people to miss. She wants to either stiff arm you, throw it to the ground, or just make you look stupid by running you over. So I want to thank you, little sis, for being on the show. Thank you again.
Hyping me up. I appreciate it.
Yeah, hyping you up. I got to let everybody know what to expect. And that's part of our new segments, Where Are They Now? And that you've just been listening to Adrian, A-Train, Penn, my little sis. Thank you very much for being on my show.
All right, thanks, guys. Enjoy the show.
All right, so that's Third and Long with Coach Penn. That was our first Where Are They Now segment. My sister was kind enough to hop on and fill everybody in on the updates since she was mentioned on the message boards. There's a couple other names I gotta really figure out. But the next segment of our show, I'm actually going to welcome Carlos Matthews. He is the owner of the Tennessee State Valley Tigers. BJ, if you go ahead and unmute him. Welcome, Mr. Matthews. How are you this evening?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am good. I know it's late over there, so we'll try not to drag you all into the evening. You're all, once again, in Central Time. We are a 7 p.m. Pacific Coast Time show, so that puts you at 9:15 over there. It's almost bedtime, right?
Yeah.
Almost. Well, welcome to the IWFL, and why don't you brief my listeners on who you are and a little bit of your background.
Okay, I am the owner of the Tennessee Valley Tigers. We're from Huntsville, Alabama. I am formerly a track coach by nature. I've coached at two universities here in town, so I try to bring speed and agility to the game. I've spent a lot of time working on conditioning and training athletes, so I look forward to getting these ladies ready for this upcoming season.
All right, so you got a track pedigree, but you are the owner. Do you do some coaching on the team too?
Well, I do a little conditioning with the girls. I try to stay in shape myself, so I do a little conditioning with the girls to work with them.
All right, so you basically have a coaching staff, and then you help out with the conditioning part of the program.
Right.
Oh, okay. That's always nice to see that, you know, the owners are somewhat involved. I know everybody has their preference, as in they want their management hands-off. But in women's football, there is no such thing as hands-off. Everybody kind of has to be totally involved in the team. And it's nice to know that you are involved, especially when it comes to a very important part of women's football, conditioning, because most of the ladies, sad to say, don't condition properly. So it's nice, as you being a track coach, knowing what needs to get done.
Oh, yeah. Speed, for me, I believe speed is what kills in football. If you got speed, you can get around a lot of other things.
That is very true. That's one of the things that I am very proud of with my team, is that I consider us one of the fastest teams in the IWFL. We weren't able to showcase our speed fully in the playoffs because we can run in normal weather. We can't run in 115-degree heat. So, but it's always a challenge adjusting to time zones, and next year our big challenge is to make sure that we get home field so people have to come here. The ladies from WFB Talk actually made the connection from you to a previous team, but you have been part of women's football since 2000, correct?
Actually, no. I've actually not been a part of women's football from 2000.
When did you join up?
I actually joined up with the team last year. There was a team in Huntsville that was playing, and I was the offensive coordinator for that team last season.
Okay.
So this was actually my second year, and decided that since the Huntsville team was no longer going to do business, I decided that I would purchase my own team and keep the dream going here in Huntsville.
So, but you have people on your team with lots of experience from the other team.
Yes, definitely. We do have a lot of players, returning players from the other team that will be coming back to join us, and we have some that will be retiring.
So every year there's those retirements, and it's all about getting those rookies because that's how you keep the teams keep going. A couple questions on the chat board were questioning if you were a Tier 1 or Tier 2 team because it wasn't stated in the IWFL release, and I think that people are saying they are Tier 2, but I understand that none of those decisions have been made yet because there still needs to be a meeting, which happens late October for the IWFL, where everybody has been placed into their tiers based on what they think they can do this season. So to clear that up, they are most likely a Tier 2 team. Would that be correct?
Yeah, most likely we will be a Tier 2 team.
There you go. Most likely, but nothing's official yet. It's just the only thing official is that they are in the Eastern Conference of the IWFL for the 2009 season. So let's get into some things. The other team was in the NWFA, and there are some little differences here and there, not just with how the management styles are run in the two different leagues, but in on-the-field activities. How do you see your team adjusting to the new ball and the differences in rules?
Well, we will receive, we've actually just purchased the ball, so they're on their way. We will start having our tryouts in probably the second week in September. So a lot of the new rules and things we haven't actually gotten to yet, but we will be getting to them in the very near future when we start getting a little boot camps going and some training camps.
That's awesome to hear. You got boot camps and training camps. Already got the balls order. Very important. Dallas Diamonds last year, not that it affected them too much, didn't start the first game. They didn't have balls until their first game, and I know the Las Vegas Showgirls didn't get balls until their third game, which was us, because we actually brought some just in case they didn't have theirs, and they actually got them the day before. So it's very big to get that ball because it's a lighter ball. It's a little bit smaller. I think the NWFA uses the junior or the youth, and we use the opposite. I'm so unfamiliar with the TDY, TDJ, and plus we are using the colored one, so it's a little bit different because the grip is very hard to find in the stores. Once again, you're listening to Thomas Matthews of the Tennessee State Valley Tigers. Now, how did you come up with the Tigers?
Well, you know, we're in a state where you've got a lot of Alabama, a lot of Auburn fans. I'm not really an Auburn fan. I'm a Miami Hurricane fan, but I like the name. I like the way it sounds, so I decided I'd go with Tennessee Valley Tigers.
All right, so is it Tennessee Valley Tigers or Tennessee State Valley Tigers?
Tennessee Valley Tigers.
Okay, so there's no state in. I make that correction, Tennessee Valley, because I was wondering, because Tennessee State is also the Tigers, isn't it?
Right, that's a university up in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, I was wondering if you were going to work some sort of deal with them, since you're Tennessee Valley, they're Tennessee State, both Tigers, maybe work some sort of thing, but I remember you mentioning that Tennessee or Nashville was like 100 miles away, correct?
Yeah, it's not far away, and that's one of the reasons we're happy with being in the IWFL. The teams that are nearby, Atlanta and Clarksville has some players from a past life that we had a rivalry with, and the team, some of the players are looking forward to getting back to that.
That is awesome to hear. Old rivalries renewed. Kind of what I said at the beginning, you know, talking about the energy and wondering, are they going to join in one of the leagues? You know, I'd love to see them, you know, the Dallas renew their rivalry with the energy, because that would just be phenomenal for women's football, because those old rivalries, they're just great, and I enjoy them thoroughly. So in adjusting with the ball and the rules, do you have a website out yet?
The website is under construction right now. It will be www.tigers.com.
IWFL.com?
IWFL.com.
There you go. So everybody, don't get in a hissy when you go to the website right now and it's not there. Check back in a couple weeks. TigersIWFL.com. And who can they reach right now if they want to try out for your team, if this just happens to reach somebody in your area?
It will be me, Carlos Matthews, and you can reach me at carlos.matthews@tigersIWFL.com.
There you go. So he's already got his email set up, so anybody out there listening that's in the area and wants to play some women's football, you know who to get in touch with. Carlos Matthews. The site will be up soon. Anything else you want to throw out there to those listeners?
I just wanted to know that one T in Matthews, so if you send the email with two T's, you'll get a bounce back.
That is very important, because I actually wrote your name down right on my paper. I only had one T. So everybody remember that. Carlos Matthews with one T. Do whatever you can to remember that. And if you can't remember it, TigersIWFL.com. So thank you very much, sir, for being on the show. I'd like to welcome you with open arms to the IWFL. I am very familiar with it. This is my third year coaching in it. And I have been part of a couple leagues, and I think this is a very well-run league. So, best of luck in the off-season with your training camps and boot camps. And I look forward to seeing you and meeting you during the 2009 season, sir.
Oh, thank you.
All right, you have a good night, sir, and enjoy yourself.
All right.
That was Carlos Matthews, the owner of the Tennessee Valley Tigers, not state, Tennessee Valley Tigers. He was just announced, I think, 2 days ago, and I know there's at least two more teams that should be announced very shortly. I don't know the specifics of it, but I just know that the reason Kesnia Disney keeps on avoiding from being on my show, she must be shy or something, is that she's constantly interviewing teams to join the IWFL. So that's great for women's football that a lot of people want to be part of it and just put their foot in the ring and say, let's take a swing. So far we've been to the Where Are They Now segment, and we welcome the Tennessee Valley Tigers to it. So, and remember, you're on Third and Long with Coach Ben. There's a chat available, green flashing thing on the board right there. If you want to hop in the chat room and see what the coaches are talking about, we got Papa Fox in there, and we got Coach Damon in there from the H-Town. They're chatting up about a bunch of stuff. And if you have any questions for me, type them on in there. If you have something to say on the air, the number's right there, 347-826-7278, and you can talk with Coach Penn on Third and Long. So right now we're going to delve into the IWFL All-Star event. First, we'll start with the All-Stars. There's a lot of questioning, who picks the All-Stars? How is it done? Well, guess what? It's a very diplomatic way in which it's done. The delegates nominate people from their team, which I'm sure they get from their coaching staff, if they're anywhat smart. Coaching staff would nominate certain people that they think stick out as all-stars. I know that my management did that for me. I picked a couple people. I'm very picky when it comes to all-stars. Like, I only voted for 9 total all-stars, I think, across the whole board in the IWFL. And they talked to me about that. It's like, you only voted for 9. You can vote for up to 45. And I'm like, well, you know, that's no, I did not dance with Trixie, Coach Papa. Did not dance with Trixie at the dance party. I actually went to bed because I had a 6 a.m. flight. So I did not dance with her, but I heard it was kind of crazy, and I heard that what happens in Chicago stays in Chicago, so try not to get any of the players or management coaches in trouble here. Thank you very much. Just playing with you. But the All-Stars, the delegates nominate people from the team, and I think there was a limit on how many you could nominate. And then the nominations were sent out to everybody in the league, delegates, coaches, and players. Everybody gets to vote. The one stipulation is you can't vote for anybody on your team, which is a great, great idea, because then there's no favoritism. So you have the coaches, the players, and the delegates all voting for people across the board. Now, I think I have a different opinion from Coach Hughes as to how you should vote for the teams, because we're trying to get the video centralized so that you can download video on any team that you ever want. And I think that will happen next year, something they're voting on, that all the coaches will be able to download video and then watch every single team play. Personally, I only vote for people that I play against, because film and in person is totally two different things. So I vote for the people that basically I had a game plan around. So what I ended up voting for were people on the Diamonds, New Mexico, Tucson, OC, and Vegas. Those are the teams that I voted for, the personnel. And the sad thing is that a lot of teams didn't nominate people. The OC Breakers, for one, didn't nominate anybody, and I was really saddened by that, because 87, Suzanne Lynn, I believe is her name, she is a baller. She is one of the best linebackers in the league, and though she's not on the all-star roster, she is an all-star, and that is not just in my opinion, that is the truth. So I want to put that out there. Congratulations to everybody who made the all-star, and I am honored because I was actually on there, and that, to me, as my first year as head coach, I was pretty shocked, but I was just shocked to see my name on there. I was kind of really proud that my colleagues actually thought that of me. So I was really happy to have that honor, and I thank everybody who did vote for me. We had a hard season. I mean, 8-0, and then to get crushed by Dallas, I figured everybody would just remember the Dallas game, but everybody did remember the hard season that we had and how well we did play. There is exactly the same number of players and coaches per team, so it was balanced. There were some missing people on there, like I said, from the people that didn't nominate anyone. The Diamonds had the most with 17. I think that's a little unfair, but they were the conference. They were the champion, and then the Force had 13. But the thing about the Force is they had 100%. Everybody that was nominated was chosen. So that was pretty intense right there. They had 13 people nominated, and then they had 13 people actually elected to the All-Stars. So obviously people thought very highly of Chicago. I don't know the exact total of Diamonds, but I think it was somewhere around 25, something like that. So 17 of them made it. The Quake actually only had 6 nominated, and all 6 made it, so I'm proud of that. And then the Tribe had 8 nominated and also had 8 elected. So congratulations to those 3 teams, the Force, the Quake, and the Tribe, for having 100% nomination to turn into All-Stars. The Fox also had 8. That's a pretty high number, too. That was the third highest number tied with the Tribe. So congratulations to the Fox. I saw them play in person. And number 5 and number 1 are most definitely All-Stars. Those ladies can play on any team that I would ever want to form. Those ladies were very good. I was a big fan of 21. She was a stud. I'm a little shocked that 13 made it, because watching film on her and watching her in person, she was not a very good quarterback, in my opinion. Everybody can have their own opinion. I think she was a very good linebacker / defensive end, so maybe that's how she made it. But as a quarterback, I would never have picked her for that. But as a linebacker and defensive end, she did very good. So there was a couple shocks on there. I was really shocked that Bowman, 56, from Dallas, did not make the starting. She made it as an alternate. And then I was also shocked about Sam Grisafi for Chicago. She made it. And I'd seen game film on her, and I wasn't really impressed with her play in regular seasons. I was beyond impressed in the championship game. She played like an All-Star that game, but one game does not make you an All-Star. Just ask Timmy Smith of the Washington Redskins, who's now incarcerated, yet he was a Super Bowl MVP that had just record-breaking numbers. So one game does not make a person, and I'm not comparing Grisafi with Timmy Smith. I am just saying, based on what I saw from her on film, she was not an All-Star QB, but she proved that she has All-Star potential in the championship game. And I believe now that the coaches have, you know, put that on her shoulders, I think next year she is going to be just amazing, especially since this is just her second year. The Passion had their usual representatives. Tarina Henley, Lisa Horton, both on there. They were amazing in the films I saw. The Eastern coaches were Blankenship from Demolition, of course, Stahl from The Force, Chris Menidis from The Force. He had a great defensive game plan all year. His defense was dominating. He did a very good job against the Diamonds. Just hard to stop Springer. And then Ogden of the Passion as a co-head coach. Not really agreeing with that, because he's a co-head coach, so technically the other head coach should be there too, but that's also their owner. So I'm not really sure how that goes down. I just think that's funny. If one co-head coach makes it, shouldn't the other one make it? On the Western side, Coach Hughes made it, of course. I made it. Seattle's Michael Talley made it. Very, very good. The three of the playoff teams coaches made it. And then Jermaine Goodwin of the Tribe. And he definitely deserved kudos for what he did against Dallas, because he held them to their lowest output of the season, 28 points. So that he deserved it just for that alone, because to hold them that low when they averaged 50-some points a game, that's pretty amazing. And it was watching that film, they were a very impressive team. And if they could have scored more, and they would have actually had a chance to win, but their defense kept them in that game the whole time. Their offense just couldn't convert first downs. They were a very good passing team. I believe their quarterback was Jenny Smith, 23. She had a great game. She was just a couple passes away from, you know, not necessarily winning the game, but making that game a real, real close game. So congratulations to everyone who did make the All-Star teams. It's a huge honor, especially in the fact that your colleagues, whether it be coaches or players, voted for you. So that's something to be very proud of. Don't know what you'll get from the league. Probably nothing, but they did put it out there, and it's for everyone to see now. Once again, we're talking about the All-Star selections on Third and Long with Coach Penn. I'm going to go into the All-Star weekend. For those of you who don't know, it is the same weekend as Coach Lee's of the Las Vegas Showgirls Women's Football Camping Conference. I am very, very against the camping conference that he's doing. I think it's a great thing. I just think the way, because I know a little bit more about the inner workings of what happened, the way it was went about, it could have been done better so that it wouldn't have conflicted with this. But after seeing the two events and what they are about, they're not going to conflict with each other at all because they're two different events. One's for people trying to better themselves in football who, you know, not necessarily are all-stars, and the other one is for all-stars. Because personally, I wouldn't want any of my people to go to the thing that have been playing football for 3 or 4 years that I have been coaching them, because I have built something with them and I don't want another coach to teach them a different thing, because the offense and defenses that we run are not similar, and they're going to be teaching basics at that camp. They're going to be teaching you the basics of every position. Well, my people should have, and if they don't have it by now, then they aren't listening to my coaching staff, because we drill them so much. The All-Star event is different in that it's going to be sort of like a party, an end-of-the-year 2008 end-of-year party, sort of like that of the, as Coach Papa Fox over here keeps on saying, that the party was at the championship, except there'll be a little less stress. Nobody has to win or lose. There's going to be competitions in the All-Star Challenge, which will be on Saturday. Then there'll be an All-Star Dinner with awards later that night, and there's going to be an IDFL-sponsored party, and for those of you who listened or was involved with the championship game, Chicks Mix Productions, they got her again, and that's going to be a big thing. She obviously threw a great party because they had pictures of me, and I wasn't even there. So I actually was there for like 2 seconds to say hi to a couple of my friends, and then I went right to bed because I had a 6 a.m. flight. On Friday, there is basically going to be a meeting, coaches meeting, open to all IWFL coaches. Those details are specific to the coaches. Nobody that isn't a coach will be allowed in there. So basically this conference is going to be the All-Stars getting their friends and family and fans out there to have fun. You think you're faster than Jessica Springer? Well, guess what? That may be your chance to outrun her. If you think you can throw a ball better than Grisafi, you know, go out there and see if you can hit targets. I'm sure those are some of the things they'll do out there. The All-Star Challenge will be pretty cool. May even have some drills out there for everybody. And it should be an all-around just relaxed, fun event for everybody just to get to know and network the coaches, the players around the league. And everybody will have the chance to meet the IWFL Executive Council, because I really didn't know much about them until I went to the championship game, and I learned a lot about them. And they're all a great group of ladies with women's football and the future that's their first priority. That's what they want to do. They want to make sure that this sport is around so that women who want to play can play. And they want it to grow each and every year, and they're trying to do their part. And they've sacrificed a lot, and I want to thank them for this year, because it was by far the best championship game I have ever seen. 6-2-6 and a 4-2-4. 6-2-6 is out here. 4-2-4. I'm not sure where that one's from. So go ahead and push the 626 number through, and I'll see if I can figure out who that is. So hello and welcome. You're on with Coach Penn. Nobody? Maybe they're just listening. The 424 number I recognize, but I just don't know where it's from. So if you're listening and you have a 626 area code or 424 area code, hop on the chat available, and then you can actually get pages and talk. Is somebody on the line? Nope, guess not. They're gone. So we are actually talking about the All-Star weekend. So we got the coaches meeting, which is funny because I can't be there. BJ was asking me earlier if I was actually going to be able to go, because the reason I wasn't going to Dion's thing was because I was going to be in Florida at a Force A game. So I actually talked to guys today, and I was like, well, if it's a coaches meeting and there's coaches that can't be there because of prior commitments or whatever, what about making a conference call for those that can't be there? And that's something that we put out there. That's not necessarily going to happen, because they'd rather everybody be there, so it might not be an option until last second, because they don't know if that's going to be, you know, what kind of facility they'll have, what kind of room they'll have. So that's not really an option right now, but that's something that we can have out there in case you just can't make it. I expect a lot of people to be there. I think it's in Austin. She didn't send me the exact details, but let me just read to you what was said in the bullet point. All players and coaches named as All-Stars and Alternatives are invited to participate, and everyone is invited to attend Saturday events to support the players. That means the All-Stars and Alternatives are going to participate in all the challenges and dinner and award ceremony. Everybody, moms, dads, sisters, brothers, fans of women's football can actually show up and support the players during these challenges and, you know, do some stuff. It's going to be some friendly competition where everyone has a chance to meet people from around the country and have a good time. The IDFL says, we will announce hotel and event details to delegates first so they can pass them along to their teams, and then they will announce them to the public. So that's the big announcement that I had this week. And once again, Kenzie was supposed to be on with me, but she was unavailable too. So I will deal with her at a later date, but I'm sure she'll listen to the show tomorrow and be like, I can't believe he was talking bad about me. I'm doing stuff to build a league so that he has more competition. And I'm sure she is doing that and doing a very good job at it. I can't wait to hear the next two teams announced in the next week. I believe it is in Austin, Texas. H-Town Coach Damon was asking me about that. I believe it is in Austin, Texas. We were actually approached in California about holding it out here, but it was just too late of a notice, and we weren't able to secure anything. So I think it should be a yearly thing, and the events will rotate. In fact, it may actually split up into an east-west thing or centralize it more so everybody can fly into one hot spot that is usually fun, like, say, somewhere like Las Vegas or Atlantic City. Or, you know, Atlanta's a pretty fun town if you can get past all the streets staying with the same name. So that's... Oh, it actually is. Is it posted on the website? It is not posted on the IDFL website yet because nothing is technically official. They want to make sure they have every single detail before announcing all the specifics. And that's something I know that's very big about the IDFL. They don't want to announce anything until they are sure they have everything set, because that's one of my complaints to them, that they didn't really publicize the championship game until the playoffs, and then they've known about this All-Star event for a long time and that they've wanted to do it. And then Dion made his thing public without mentioning it to the IWFL first, and they were like, oh, we have something planned for that. Why didn't you ask us first? You could have got a different date, and then it would have conflicted. But like I said, I don't see any conflictions. I just see that based on his guess, a couple of the coaches won't be able to make it. That's why I hope the whole conference call works out, because the coaches have a lot to say about not so much how to fix things in the league, but how to better some things that could use, you know, some improvements. Like the rule book. The rule book's very shady, and it's funny about the IDFL rule book, and I'll save the complete thing for another show, but it's a mishmash of high school, college, and NFL. And the officials that work it are very unsure about many things. I had to actually teach the officials at the championship game a couple things that they didn't know. And then Coach White of the Orlando Mayhem was nice enough to point out that there's no mention of the two-minute warning in the entire IDFL rulebook. So technically we were never supposed to have a two-minute warning all year because it's not in there. And rulebooks in those leagues are... nothing is understood. If it's not in there, it doesn't exist. So I think that was funny that the two-minute warning was never mentioned, because I came back home and ripped through it. I was like looking all through the timing, and there was nothing mentioned. And then I had my meeting with our owner this week, and she actually had it on her. I was like, you go check. Make sure I'm just not an idiot. So all you coaches out there in the IDFL listening, go through it. See if you can find something about the two-minute warning. Nothing in there. So, and those of you in the IDFL who have are coaches and know your name and password to get into the site, there is actually, when you sign in as a coach, a way to put in stuff about the rule book. So if something comes in, sign in online, make your amendments to the rule book or something that you would like to see clarified, because there's a lot of things that need clarification in there. But the All-Star Weekend highlights we'll get back to. Let's see. What else have they got on here? That's basically it. They have the coaching meeting on a Friday, the All-Star Challenge all day Saturday, the dinner and awards Saturday evening, and then a party. And I'm not sure if the party's going to be on Sunday or not, but I would imagine it would probably be right after dinner and the awards, because if you're doing the All-Star Challenge, it's in November, so I don't know. Coach Damon, how hot is it in November in Texas? Let me know about that. I know it's really hot in June and July, that's for sure. So what else do I got on here? Next week, I want to be able to go over off-season stuff. Everybody's having their trials, and most of the teams have actually put some stuff out there. So I want to go over trials and how you coaches out there get together with your management and set a schedule or timeline. Do you do it? Does management do it and give it to you? Or do you work as a unit to build a schedule? I just happened to go through all this on Monday, so I want to hear how other people are doing it, because some people might have a better way, and it's all about improving the game. And I think that it is very important that not so much everybody's doing it the same, but we share our ideas. I didn't talk to any of the coaches except Dion with Vegas and Duncan with the Amazons until this year, and now I talked to like 10 different coaches, and I got people trying to find me. So if you're trying to find me, my email is very simple, okay? headcoach@californiaquakefootball.com. Very simple. headcoach@californiaquakefootball.com. It's actually on the California Quake website, so if you have trouble remembering that, just go to iwflsports.com, click on the official website of the California Quake, and you can find me under staff. My email's there. It goes directly to me. I check it in the morning, then I check it at night. So if you ever have anything to say or you want to be a guest on my show, you have a subject that you think needs to be brought up on my show so people can listen to and acknowledge, then just, you know, send me an email. I am very, very open to anything everybody's got to say. And again, you know what? Everybody's got an opinion. And most of the opinions are neither right or wrong. They're just an opinion that needs to be put out there. That's one of the reasons I signed up to do this show with the ladies at WFB Talk, is because they said I had a lot of things to say. And because I've been around football for 7 years, I have a lot of insight into how things have worked and not worked. So every Wednesday, 7 p.m., I'm going to discuss some of those issues. This is I've seen, two All-Star games in the history of women's football that I've been involved in. One was last year with the WPFL, and that really didn't go down as well as most people thought it was going to, but it was great that people actually got to do it. I think the All-Star Weekend is a great thing because All-Star events in general are going to be very, very expensive. So the All-Star lists, the way that it is done, I think is very good. If the delegates for each and every team would take some initiative and recognize the ladies on their team that are busting their ass, it doesn't matter if you're 0-8 or 11-0 in world champs. All that matters is that you nominate the people who deserve recognition, because there are ladies on your team that deserve recognition, and not just the recognition for a thank you or a little trophy at the end of the year at your banquet. So next week I want to get some people on here that have some things to say. Looks like Coach Damon has some things to say. He wants to talk now, so I don't know what he's going to talk to, but if he wants to call in, go ahead on the chat board, give me the first 3 digits of your area code, and I'll have BJ unmute you, because I got about 13 minutes left, so we can chit-chat it up some and see what the deal is, see what you got to say. We will talk to you for a couple minutes and see what you want to hop on the show and talk about. So then we got next week, I want to go into what's different or what's everybody's talking about in the off-season, tryouts for each and every team. Not so much expectations, but what you do in the off season. For those of you who are wondering about ex-players, ex-superstars, there is the Where Are They Now? There you go, BJ, 832. The Where Are They Now segment of the show, I'm going to go back on the message boards and find the Where Are They Now list and see if I can couple them with a couple. I actually know of a couple players that I want to find out where they are, so if I can't you know, figure out anything from my listeners, and I will find out where a couple people are because I want to know. I know of a couple names from way back in the day that I'm just like, hey, where'd this person go? They were, I hated playing this person. They were really good, or this person dominated their league. So I got Coach Damon calling in right now. He should be unmuted shortly. And then, so next week I want to do the Where Are They Now segment, hopefully keep that as a weekly thing, and do the off season. When's everybody's banquets? When's the tryouts and everything? So right now I'd like to welcome Coach Damon of the H-Town Cyclones. Welcome to the show.
All right, thank you very much.
How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm good, sir. You're a hard man to catch up with.
Yes. See, that's funny because I'm really not. So it just got the wrong email. So hopefully, you know, you got my contact information now, and now it should be relatively easy. I see all of yours. I'm going to make sure and put that into the saved contact list for my coaches, and it'll
okay.
keep on growing. My list will keep on growing, and then it'll never be hard to have guests on my show. So what's on your mind tonight, sir?
I just wanted to touch bases on the actual leagues and things. I was coach with the Energy for a while as well before the Cyclones. So
okay.
My only two reference points would be the WPFL and the NWFA.
Okay, well, I've coached in the WPFL and the IWFL, so we have the WPFL in common.
Okay. I'm just curious that I hear a lot of different factors, and we're supposed to at some point have another meeting here with the NWFA, but there are a lot of factors that you guys have in the IWPF. I'm sorry, I may be doing – is it IWPF? Yeah, that's it. In the
IWFL.
IWFL, sorry. In the IWFL that – we don't have in the NWFA. For example, the things like the way you guys get your game films and those types of things, we still go the old-fashioned way. We overnight them to each other. For example,
yeah.
Going into the championship game, I only had one film on the Mayhem. Total.
Yeah, the way that we do it over here, and it's funny because I don't know if you listened to my previous show, but Catherine Masters was on there, and that was a question I posed to her. And she said it's mandatory, but I really didn't get into the specifics of it, so you're still old school snail mail way.
Oh, very much.
The WPFL and the IWFL both had programs, right? Did you have one with the WPFL?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Ours is a little similar to the one in the WPFL, except that ours isn't just free to everybody to grab stuff. Like, it was, you have to upload your film, and once you upload your film, the other team has to upload their film too, and then once both of you have uploaded your films, the transaction happens. It automatically starts downloading. You don't have to do anything. Like, it's all
so
automated.
You individually. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, you individually, basically, you're supposed to send, every week you're supposed to send your game to the team you just played, the league, and your next opponent, not your current opponent, your next opponent. So, like, if we played somebody on Saturday, say we played Vegas on Saturday, and then the following Saturday's OC, and then we played Vegas the following week, we would send our Vegas game to Vegas because that's the next opponent. Our current opponent, we wouldn't send it. It's always 2 weeks ahead. And I think it was a great system. I do think that we should be able to have access to everybody. And then for the playoffs, you basically got everybody's last game. Like, when we beat New Mexico and basically guaranteed 8-0 and in the playoffs, we got Seattle's last game, Dallas's last game, who's the other one in the league? Corvallis's last game. We got them all right then. So no matter who we played, because we had the 2 weeks, we got everybody's film.
Awesome.
And then once you make it to the championship game, you can request any two games that you want, and the league actually forwards them to you.
Wow, awesome. Okay. Didn't know how you guys worked it out. Like I said, we're on a snail mail list, even actually throughout the playoffs. Out of the four teams I played throughout the playoffs, one of them I played before, so I didn't really need game film on them.
Right.
But on the other three teams I played before, I mean, I've never played, I really didn't get film but on one of them.
Well, you did a great job because, I mean, you guys won the championship with minimal film, and as a coach, I know how hard that is.
Yeah.
So congratulations for doing that and then some.
We did the best we could. That's why if you look at a lot of our games, our playoff games, we had a hard time the first quarter or so of the game because we had to make on-the-fly adjustments to.
Yes, I was there at the Amazon game, so I know, because they were running all over your asses. They were, and then as soon as you guys switched out of that 4-4 stack, they couldn't do anything. I was like, oh, that was a great adjustment right there. I was like, that was amazing. You guys made that adjustment. Come into the first, middle of the second. I can't believe, I don't know exactly when the timeout was taken, but as soon as your timeout was taken, they were shut down from then on out. And I was very impressed with that adjustment on the fly. So.
Well, we thank you very much. We worked hard at these halftime or these sideline adjustments trying to make it happen. But the Amazons are an extremely talented team. I knew them from the WPFL prior, and they were not as talented as they were this year and upcoming. So that every year they've obviously been growing. And I don't remember.
And that's one thing I know about them too, because when I was in the WPFL, I was with the Aftershock. And so you know us. If you've been around the Energy for a while, you know the Aftershock. And because we had four major battles, I think it was. It was just ridiculous. I think we played each other five times. Twice at your place, twice at our place, and then once in the playoffs at our place. So, The Amazons, we used to just roll over them back in the day, and every year I've seen them get better and better and better. And, you know, Duncan's built a great program over there. And, you know, me and him always joke with each other about talking crap about each other. But, I mean, the Amazons have done nothing but get better every single year. So I look forward to watching them improve and be a major stamp on women's football.
Right. I expect them to be an extremely tough competitor for the upcoming years to come. That running back they have, I don't know her name, 21.
Deanna Guidry.
She is Barry Sanders in a skirt.
Yeah, well, I heard she's done.
It's over. She's not playing again.
Yeah, I heard she's going to start a family. So that's the rumor I heard. It may or may not be true, but what I heard is that was her last season, and she's basically wanting to start a family or have kids or have her second kid. I'm not really sure the specifics, but that's just what I was told through the grapevine. But number seven, Vanessa Rodriguez, she's a little bit more dangerous, I think, because she's shiftier. Kidry, 21, could run you over. Yeah,
right.
She played a quarterback, running back, and receiver, and then she was also, I think, their stronger free safety.
They were a two-weapon team. But for us, the speed, we have enough speed across the board, I think, to justify or to be able to stay with most teams as far as speed-wise is concerned. But with the young lady that they had, like I said, the Guidry young lady, that was a different look for us than what we were used to.
They've been running the same five plays for the last 6 years, and they've got them down really good. I mean, I always thought it was funny because you always knew it was coming from the Amazons, but they've gotten really good at blocking and running those plays now, so that's pretty cool. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show. Now that you've got my email and I have yours, please email me any more stuff that you want to get. And for everybody else out there listening, you were just talking with Coach Damon of the H-Town Cyclones. So thank you very much, sir. The show's about ready to wrap up.
Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome, sir. You have a good night. And that's the kind of things I want to open up to everybody out there. You know, if you have questions, you know, and want to know or compare things from the leagues, you know, I have no problem sharing with you. I don't think I'm crossing any lines about how our league runs compared to other leagues. We're here to pick each other's brains and make our teams the best that we can. And as long as we're not infringing on copywriting of plays or whatever, I think everything's open. You know, everybody does something different, and everybody can learn something from everybody. That's why this is a coach's show. Coaches call in, players can listen and see what frustrates us and maybe help in becoming better players and stuff. So right now I'm going to say goodnight. This has been Third and Long with Coach Penn. Remember, next week, 7 p.m., Wednesday nights, we're going to go over the Where Are They Now and talk about some of the off-season things that everybody is just now starting, whether it be 2009 tryouts, 2008 banquets, and off-season conditioning programs, whether it be training camps, clinics, etc. Thank you, everybody. You have a good night, and I will talk to you next week.